Thanks for joining the Church at Nolensville Sermon Podcast. We exist to engage the whole person with the whole gospel of Jesus Christ, anytime, anywhere, with anybody.
That's our prayer, that this place would be a sending place for people to go all over Nolensville and to the nations. That we together would engage the whole person with the whole gospel anywhere, anytime, and with anybody. And welcome home, but this isn't we've arrived. This is we're just getting started. And I love that you're here. And if you're a guest, welcome. I hope that you enjoy being around people who love Jesus more than anything else. And we do. We love Jesus more than anything else. In fact, loving Jesus more than anything else compels us to go to places all around the world and tell others about Jesus. I've told you quite often that my family and I, that's one of our unique passions, is to go to some of the least reach of the unreached people around the world and make sure everybody has an opportunity to hear about Jesus once. And so we've traveled as a family all around the world. And sometimes I go by myself. There are times where my family is unable to go, but I travel by myself. One very memorable trip was to Mongolia. Went to Mongolia a few years ago to help plant churches and advance the gospel there. And it was very difficult, to be honest. We were there for 2 weeks. It was tough. It was negative 15 degrees there, which they thought was a warming trend. They didn't book us a car. We walked everywhere that they went because they're, hey, it's nice outside. I'm like, I'm freezing. Had icicles on my eyelashes for 2 weeks. Went to a family's house and they cooked a very traditional Mongolian meal there. And it was mare's milk and horse meat. Mare's milk and horse meat. You know what it tasted like? I'm trying to come up with the right word here. Death! Death is what it tasted like. And I was gone for 2 weeks and I couldn't wait to be home. And I remember getting to the airport for the first time and getting out and seeing my wife and seeing my family. It just felt so good to be home. Home has been a place of soul rest for me. Other times I have to go out and I have to be with families at the gravesite. I have to go and deliver news. I'm the chaplain for the Nolensville Police Department. And so quite often news that we delivered isn't good. It's difficult and long and very weary days. And sometimes I just want to be home. There are times that I'm at home with my wife in the last 20 years of marriage. And there have been days that have shaken us to our core, hurts and pains and sorrows that have happened in our life. And there are times where I have held her and felt completely helpless to ease her tears. And in that moment, really the best that I could do for her is to say, baby, this world is not our home. That we do have a home. And I know when I say the word home, over and over again, it invokes different ideas and different memories and different emotions in this room. And we're in a series called Come, Lord Jesus. And what you're going to see today is the place, the reality that God said is our final and forever home. And that's what we're going to look at today. What God said for you, church, is home. So God, today we pray, would you do what only you can do in this place and open hearts and open minds? Jesus, when you came the first time, you came as a baby. But you're coming back the second time as a returning king, as a conquering king who's going to take his church, take his bride back home to heaven. And we're going to be home. So God, I pray you would speak to our hearts and speak to our minds today as we look into your word. Be moved by your truth in Jesus' name. And the church said, so we're going to look in the book of Revelation. You know, we've been walking through it all month in our Come Lord Jesus series. And so if you have a copy of the scriptures, and I hope that you do, open to the book of Revelation chapter 21. And that's where we're going to find ourselves today in the book of Revelation. And we're going to start in verse 1. And in verse 1, we begin to learn a little bit more about heaven. Let's put verse 1 up. All right. In verse 1, here's what John says. John said, then I saw a, what's the word? All right, this is the group participation part of the sermon. Then I saw a what? New heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away and the sea was no more. The entire creation order, according to the Bible, is going to be made new forever. It's going to be brand new. When God created the world for the first time, when it was originally created, he stood back and he looked at his creation and he said, Tov Ma'od, which is Hebrew for very good. Very good. But we know that our world didn't stay very good because it was broken by sin. It's been marred by sin. And so the world that God created as paradise isn't paradise anymore. But God is going to renew. He's not just going to renovate. He's not going to fix it up. He's going to make it brand new. And he's going to make us a place that we get to call home forever and ever. And the first world was paradise. But Adam and Eve sinned and paradise was lost. But the reality is, church, paradise is going to be regained. And it's going to be heaven. And John has more to say about it. So let's look back at verse 1 because there's more that he tells us here. Let's go back. He says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and the sea was no more. This is interesting that John describes it this way, because right now, 3/4 of our globe is covered with water, and water divides nations, and water separates people. And the ancients in John's day, they thought that the sea had a real source of mystery and perhaps even evil. And John, when he's writing these verses, he's on an island surrounded by the sea. He's been exiled to the Isle of Patmos, right in the middle of the Aegean Sea because of his devotion to Christ. So at this point, the sea is not a friend to John. It's keeping him. It's separating him from friends and family. But as he's writing this and he sees the new heaven, and he sees the new earth, he says, the sea is no more. There's no more separation. In that day, in our home, there will be nothing that divides family and friends and nations. We will be together in our home. And then he has a lot more to say. Let's look at verse 2. See what else John has to say here in verse 2. He said, I also saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. John, when looking at the new heavens, saw a brand new city. And you may ask yourself, well, what is the new city? Well, I'll tell you, no offense, it's not Nolensville. It's not. He tells us what the new city is. What's the new city? Jerusalem. And he tells us that it's coming down. Why is it coming down? Because heaven and earth being recreated is perfect and holy and can never be touched or created by human hands. It has to come down from heaven because it had to be created by God. The Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. And the new heaven and the new earth is so perfect, it couldn't be created by human hands. It had to come down from God the Father. And the new city, Jerusalem, is called holy. God has always had an investment in the city, Jerusalem. In the Bible, Jerusalem is called the beloved city. But in the new heavens and the new earth, it's called the holy city because the city takes on the character of its creator. And it's coming down from the Father who is holy. So now the new city created by God is the holy city, Jerusalem. And John says, it's like a bride adorned for her husband. I love this image. Show of hands, how many of y'all are married? How many of y'all are single? Look around. This is what you got to work with, by the way. You might come to the 9 next week. I'm just saying. I don't know. Just playing. But when that couple is in love and you're planning on marriage and you're making preparations and there's going to be this wonderful day and this exchanging of vows and you look forward to the consummation of the relationship where the two literally become one. There's a lot of planning and there's a lot of preparation. And the bride, when she's preparing for that day, man, she's thinking about colors and hairstyles and gowns and flowers and appetizers and meal and second. I didn't think about all of that. The guy, he's just trying to be interested. He's just looking forward to, I do, let's go. Right now, the Bible says there's a home for you that's being prepared by God himself. And all of his preparation is to make a home for you and for me and for those who follow Jesus. where we can be with our King forever and ever and ever. And then John, I feel like, John, don't just leave me at this verse. Tell me more. Tell me more about what you have to say, John. And in fact, he does just that. Look at verse 3. Look at what John says. He says, "Then I heard a loud voice from the throne, look." And if you've been with us the last couple of weeks, several times a voice from heaven has declared to John, "Behold, look, gaze, see this, take note of this." In fact, it was a command. Look at this. And here's what I want you to notice. Look at what he looks at, or is commanded to look at and see. God's dwelling, look at this, is with humanity. And he will live with them. And they will be his people. And God himself will be with them. And they will be, and he will be their God. There's something very significant that John is declaring here in these verses. He was told, look, see this. Now, here's what I want you to notice. Do you see the word with? Do you see the word with? How many times, church, is the word with repeated here? Three times. God doesn't waste words. If God repeats himself over and over and over, he's trying to make a point. And what God repeats over and over and over with a loud voice is that he, God, is going to be with his people. I can't believe you're not freaking out right now. That's better than the streets of gold. Hello. That's better than all of the other adornments of heaven. God is with his people. He's with his people. And so that should dispel any myth right now that heaven's going to be boring. A little bit of honesty for a minute. How many of y'all at one point in your life thought heaven might be a little bit boring? Anybody? Anybody? No honest people? A bunch of liars? Come on. You're like, what in the world are we going to do forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever? Am I going to float on a cloud, strum a harp? What am I going to do? I got ADD. I am really worried. But when I read this verse, I'm not worried anymore. Because the Bible says God, think about it, himself is going to be with his people. So if you've ever wondered what heaven is going to be like, wonder no more. What makes heaven home is that face to face, person to infinite deity forever is what we get to receive when we're in heaven. Heaven is where Jesus is. Heaven is where God is going to be, and we get to be with God. And so that should dispel any myth that it's going to be boring or not great. Because if you remember, God has been with his people previously. Emmanuel, Jesus, God in the flesh. That's what the word Emmanuel means. Jesus came. He was born as a baby. He was with his people, but they rejected him. And they hated him, and they spit on him, and they arrested him, and they plucked out his beard. They nailed him to a cross. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They put a spear in his side. And he loved them so much that he endured it, because he said, I'm going to take away the sins of the world. And they put him in a grave, but the grave didn't keep him. And he rose from the grave. And he's coming back one day to get his church, to get his people, and take them to the new heaven and the new earth. And we will be home, and we will be with him. He's going to go on, John will, in a few more verses and say, no pain, no tears, no death, no dying, no more. You know what that's like? No. Because this world hurts sometimes. But God says there's coming a day where that will be our reality forever and ever and ever and ever. And I love this world. I really do. But can we be honest in church for a minute? This world can hurt sometimes, can't it? This world will make you cry sometimes, won't it? This world will break your heart. This world will leave you empty. This world ultimately, through sin, brings death. That's what we know. But John is peeking into the future. And John is gazing into our new heaven and new earth. And he's saying, you're going to be with God. You're going to be home. And then Psalm 16 tells us a little bit more about what it's going to be like with God. Take a look at Psalm 16. Let's put that up. You reveal, the psalmist says, the path of life to me in your presence. Look at this. Abundant joy, and at your right hand are eternal pleasures. Scripture says that there are two very clear things that happen when we're in the presence of God. One, abundant joy, and two, eternal pleasures. So I want you to take just a moment, and I want you to think about something in your life or something in your past or something right now that has brought you joy. Think about it. Maybe it was getting engaged. Maybe it was getting married or a new job or the birth of a child, something. So think about that moment. And as great as they are, as cool as they are, at some point, what happens? They go away. Or they fade. Or they fail. But the Bible says, and the presence of God is a never-stopping, never-ending, always and forever, flowing out of our heart and mind, joy. And two, eternal pleasures in the presence of God. And the word pleasure, it's the Hebrew word, na'im, that means delight. And the presence of God is delight. So think about something delightful, something that just brings you delight. You know, Christmas morning, Jenny's ice cream, Texas A&M football. All of those things, as great as they are, they fade. Look, I know we went 7-5. Stop emailing me, okay? As good as it is, it doesn't last. As great as it is, it doesn't bring us never-stopping, never-ending joy and delight. But John said, when you're with God in your new home, that's all you'll ever know. In the presence of God, with God. And then Jonathan Edwards expands on that idea and says, in addition to that, I think there's something else that will bring us joy forever and ever. This is what Jonathan Edwards wrote. Quote, said, every Christian friend who's gone before us from this world is a ransom spirit waiting to welcome us into heaven. There will be the infant that lived only a few days, the father, the mother, the son, the daughter, the loved one, the friend. Through grace, we will be united yet again, end quote. You lost a loved one? Had to bury a child? A spouse? A parent? A friend? A family member? Part of the joy of heaven is being reunited with those whom we lost here on earth. Part of the joy of heaven is going to them. Part of the joy of heaven is then forever and ever in a perfect relationship, being reunited completely free from the entanglements of sin forever as a family of God with our God. And you'll have the perfect relationship with friends and spouses and family that we always wanted, together with our King forever. Edwards also comments. He said, not only will those people be there, but think about it, so will the patriarchs and the prophets of the Old Testament and the New. They're going to be there. And when you think about it, how cool is that? That you're going to get to worship and be shoulder to shoulder, knee to knee with the people that we're reading about right here. And the Bible says that we'll recognize one another. When they were on the Mount of Transfiguration, the disciples were like, whoa, that's Moses. That's Elijah right there. They will see them. How cool is that? That you will be there and you will be able to see and meet and know people we've been reading. I can't wait to meet Peter. I'm so stubborn. Somebody like me, Peter, man, wow. Paul, what was it like planting churches? Noah. You built a huge boat. Zacchaeus. Y'all remember Zacchaeus? The wee little man that climbed the tree. Maybe he gets a new heaven. I mean, when he gets to the new heaven, he'll get a new body and you'll be able to high five him because he's not a wee little man anymore. I don't know. Mary. Well, what was it like to kiss the face of God? Do you remember the lady who wiped Jesus' feet with her hair? The Roman centurion who upon Jesus' death, who just helped kill the man, looked up and said, wow, truly this man must be the Son of God. We'll get to be with those people. Part of the joy of heaven is being in the presence of God, but then being reunited with our family and the extended family of faith forever and ever and ever in a perfect place called heaven. And then look what John says next here in verse 4. Look at this. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. I've always wondered about this. I've always wondered why there's not crying. And I really don't get it, because I can't imagine meeting Jesus face to face for the first time and not just weeping. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine seeing Jesus for the first time, the one that I have loved, the one that I have cried to in my darkest hours, the one that redeemed me and saved me and set me free, the one that I have spent countless hours with in the early mornings, the one who has redeemed three generations now of an Owens family. I can't imagine meeting him for the first time and not just falling apart and going, Jesus, you did it. You got me here just like you said you would. You finished the work that you began just like you promised. You did it. I'm home. And I can't imagine being in that moment and not just falling apart and weeping. I can't imagine. But the Bible says he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, which means at some point when we get there, there must be a few tears. But then he wipes them away, church, and you'll never know tears yet again. You'll never know sorrow yet again. You'll never know those pain anymore, because look how he finishes verse 4. He says, death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more, because the previous things have passed away, gone. No more pain. I get that. Man, my back hurts right now. No more death, no more tears. And death is a part of the human condition now, but at that day, it won't be. And God says there won't be any more dying, and it was not a part of God's original plan. When he created Adam and Eve and he put them in paradise, it was supposed to be paradise with no tears and pain and sorrow. But the enemy came in and caused them not to trust the goodness of God and put a lie in their hearts, and they believed it. He said, did God really say that? And they trusted Satan and not God. And in Genesis 3, sin entered the world. And then in Genesis 5, death entered the world. People started dying. So every time you attend a funeral, you drive by a graveyard, here's what you can know. God tells the truth and Satan's a liar. Because God said that was going to happen. But God also said, I'm coming and I'm going to restore and I'm going to redeem and I'm going to save and I'm going to take you home and create paradise yet again. And it will never, ever, 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 ever go away. So church, there's a day coming when our faith becomes our sight. And Paul says that out of all of these things, there are three that remain: faith, hope, and what? Love. And the greatest of these is what? It's just my opinion, but do you know why I think he says the greatest of these is love? It's because when you get to heaven and we're with God and the presence of God and our tears are wiped away, you won't need hope anymore. You're in the presence of hope. You're not going to need faith anymore, because you're standing next to the author of faith. And then the only thing that will remain is love in the presence of God forever and ever and ever and ever. And sometimes, if we're just being honest, we don't long for heaven like we really should. And we celebrate Christ's first coming at Christmas as a baby. Yeah. But we're not anticipating and looking for a second coming, because we keep trying to make this world our home. And we keep trying to make this world heaven. And you buy everything that you can. We rack up debt. We change jobs. We change houses. We change spouses. All the while trying to create heaven on earth. You can't. Stop trying. We're wearing ourselves to a frazzle trying to create here what God has promised us in the future. Take a poll. How much hope does the average person's life have? How much abundant joy, overflowing, never stopping, is filling the hearts of the average person? What kind of eternal pleasures do you find yourself experiencing with those that you know on a daily basis? We can't create it here. We sure can't long for it. We sure can't expect for it. And then listen, look right at me. We can taste a little bit of it while we're here by fulfilling the purpose why he left us here. And that's to go into the uttermost parts of the world and make disciples. So go across the street and around the world and tell everybody we know about Jesus. You've been left here on purpose with a purpose. And if your heart needs rest and your soul needs peace and your life needs joy, you've got to be weaved into the eternal plans and purposes of God. Because yes, in that moment, you can know joy and you can know peace. There's still pain and there's still hurt, but you have purpose. By weaving your life into the plans of God here. And it begins with salvation. Jesus, I want to follow you. Jesus, I want to know you. I want to be saved by you. And then it begins by saying, Jesus, now I want to do what you want me to do. Jesus left, but he's coming back. He left us with a purpose. We're to fulfill that purpose until he comes back. You know, when he left and was ascending into heaven the first time, the disciples were freaking out. Where are you going? What are you doing? He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I'm coming back to get you. But while you're here and while you're waiting, go and make disciples. And so church, while we wait, we have a mission. While we wait, we have a purpose. And I'm so glad that I get to pastor a church and a room full of people that want to own that mission. And listen, I can't wait to get there. I miss my dad so much, y'all. I've had 7 miscarriages with my wife. I can't wait to meet the babies I don't know. Both of my grandfathers are there. My grandmothers are there. My uncles are there. Missionaries that we longed and prayed for are there. I can't wait. But we have purpose here. We hope for that day. We long for that day. And then we get on mission while we're here. Because I want more people longing for heaven. I want more people knowing that there is a day coming where every tear is wiped away. And it's our job to go and tell them Jesus saves. And as we conclude our service, we're going to sing again. But we're going to light the final Advent candle. And the final Advent candle is a candle of prayer. It's a prayer of expectation of his return to get us. It's a prayer of hope that he is indeed coming back. It's a prayer of hope that we won't waste our life here. It's a prayer of hope that we have meaning and purpose here. And so we're going to light that last candle, a candle of prayer. And here's what I want to invite you to as we light the candle of prayer. One, if you're not a follower of Jesus, you're in a safe room, safe place, safe people. If you're not a follower of Jesus, then I would ask you to pray and ask the Lord to open your heart to believe in Jesus. Today, you can respond to the most important invitation in your life, and that's to pray to receive Jesus. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. You could do that today. There's a card in the seat back in front of you. Fill it out. I want to follow Jesus. We're not going to come by your house. We just want to follow up with you and celebrate with you. But two, for those of you that are followers of Jesus, you can pray and ask God to make the most of your life while you wait. You can pray and ask God to help your life matter, to know the purpose and the joy that is provided for here while we wait. So I just want you to bow your heads and close your eyes with me. When I'm praying, I like to open my hands to heaven. You don't have to, just a what helps me realize that I'm seen and known and loved by God. And if you're not a follower of Jesus, like I said, why don't you pray right now, dear Lord, I am a sinner and I need a Savior. I believe that you left heaven, came to earth, was crucified, buried, but rose again to save me, to make me a child of God. Save me today. And if that's you, get that card out of the seat back in front of you. Mark on there, I want to follow Jesus. Give us a way to contact you, and we will, and we'll celebrate. Don't leave without sharing with us the most important decision of your life. But for others, you're a follower of Jesus. We're going to give you some silence and ask him to speak to your heart. Greater purpose, greater joy, walking into your destiny, living out your mission here. God, speak to our hearts in these moments.